Hot, sizzling days are ahead, so now's the time to join me, Skip Mancini, for a special series on the cool aspects of water gardening. Our final water gardening essay concerns the most dramatic and unpredictable element of your garden pond, the live critters that will make their home in and around your oasis. Most ponds are home to at least a few ornamental fish and should also support some scavenger fish and snails to help with the housekeeping. The ornamentals can range from common variety goldfish to exotic Japanese carp, and no matter what their lineage, they provide flashes of color and interest that always seem to set off the best of your watery landscape. The conventional goldfish is often supplemented by other varieties, such as long-tailed comets, fantails, moors, and my favorite, shubunkins. The riot of colors they can sport give them the common name of calicos. Shubunkins are friendly fish who enjoy meeting you at poolside for meals. However, a word of warning, they're great jumpers. I've lost 2 shubunkins who leapt to fatal freedom from a freestanding patio tub and were unable to flop back into the water. I've since put a removable screen over my little kettle of athletic fish. If you're a novice ponder, I suggest starting with a few small goldfish and then watch them grow. They can reach 1 foot in length, their ultimate size determined by the amount of room they have in their new home. The showfish of any pond are definitely the Japanese carp, called koi. They're relatives of goldfish and fulfill the requirement of being a cold-blooded fish, the only kind that will survive an outdoor pond environment. Experts advise a minimum pond depth of 3 feet in order for fish to safely overwinter in cold climates. And be sure to keep the pond from totally freezing over in order to keep oxygen available to your hibernating fish. Koi come in a wide range of colors, with variations on red, white, orange, and black being prevalent. I have a small indoor pool that is home to 8 koi of various sizes and colors. These fish have developed personalities, following me along the edge of the pool when I walk by, and sometimes flipping water on me if they have a complaint to lodge concerning mealtime frequency. I know people who feed their koi by hand and tickle them under their chins, but my fish are definitely independent, preferring to push a glass fishing float around in a fishy version of water polo. My word of warning about koi concerns the future of your pond plant life. I've heard pro and con about koi's destructive behavior concerning uprooting plants and tearing them to shreds. Some people say their koi are gentle and plant-loving. Don't you believe it? If you want both koi and plants, better be on the safe side and protect your plants with screening and baskets or place them on ledges out of harm's way. Snails and mussels are sometimes introduced into a pond in order to help keep the algae growth down. Again, a word of warning. Make sure that you're using the types of snails and mussels that will not take over your entire water garden. They can definitely become invasive. Other pond occupants that may show up are frogs, toads, and salamanders. These guests are relatively harmless, but watch out for turtles and ducks, which can polish off a pond full of small fish in a single serving. And migrating waterfowl of all kinds may look upon your backyard pond as a backyard buffet, scooping up a costly koi for a gourmet meal. Now that I seem to have sounded a warning note for every type of disaster possible, I hope you'll consider adding a pond to your gardening life. They take lots of planning and not a little work, but once established, they're well worth it. So take the plunge and make a splash in your garden design. Come on in. The water's fine.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.